There you are. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Good. It was great to be here. I am not Pastor Thomas, or Pastor Bill for that matter, but Pastor Thomas is a little ill, and he's asked me to fill in for him, so we're going to be praying for him. And talking with him, I said, Thomas, is there something you want me to relay to the congregation? I'll read to you exactly what he said. He said, please tell the congregation it has been one attack after the other ever since Pastor Bill and myself met concerning 2024. I have a word the Lord has given me, and I'm so burdened to deliver it, and will be, Lord willing, on the 7th. So that'll be a week from today. So isn't that how it works, right? It's a grind, it's a battle. But so many things that we need to announce before we get into the word. I want to make sure I don't forget one. First of all, today is the last day of the year. Also, the list of over 500 children. This is the last time that we as a church pray for them. Not that we're going to stop praying for our children. Does that make sense? I can just wait to see that on the news. Church will no longer pray for kids. No, that is not what I just said. What I mean is, you know, we have been praying every Sunday, every day of 2023. So today we wrap that up, and what a privilege that I get to do that. So we'll pray for the children. Also, the missions team is coming back from Mexico. We're going to pray for them as they on their way back. Two more announcements. It says, in light of New Year's, the office will be closed Monday, January 1st. You know, it's a federal holiday, kind of big deal. And through the second, this is, you know, for the staff and servant leaders so they can spend time with their families. And we will have our regular scheduled service Wednesday. We will not have our regularly scheduled service on Wednesday the 3rd. So we're going to have a nice little break. Also, this may not apply to you, but if you are here after second service, we need help to take down the Christmas decor and bring out the boxes from the attic. We will not be putting them away. We're just taking them down and, you know, the large decorations and so forth. And this is not a race, you know, like, oh, we just take it down and throw it. You know, the church has nice stuff. So if you're around and you can help, that'll be great. You can meet James over by this door after second service. It should only take about 6 or 7 hours of your time. You'll make it for the New Year's party, I promise. No, it won't be very long, but we truly do appreciate that. So with all that being said, I believe I've covered everything. Let's pray. And Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for 2023, a year that as a church we prayed for every child in this list. Every day they were before your throne of grace. And Lord, as we wrap this season today, we thank you. Because we know you worked and you touched and you protected and you did mighty works in those children's hearts. Lord, I know I saw some of that at camp when you moved, and most of those kids were in that list, are in that list. We thank you. We do commit them to you, Lord. Every single day of 2024 as well, they are yours. We're so thankful that children, theirs is the kingdom, and you care for children, Lord. We know you'll take care of them. Bless them, Lord. Keep them. We thank you. We thank you for the missions team coming back from blessing children down in Mexico. Lord, protect them. Give them strength. Traveling mercies. Bless them as they come home. Give them rest. Lord, we pray for Pastor Bill and Becky, for Pastor Thomas. Lord, for your hand of healing to be upon their bodies. In a miraculous way, Lord. We look forward to hear that word which you've given them, Lord. But until then, be with them. I think also of Pastor Marshall there, recovering from surgery. Lord, let all the side effects and let him recover. We love him so much. Be with Gail. And Lord, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that now you will be our teacher. Pray that those hearing online and here, Lord, would not hear me or my voice, my thoughts, but your word. I pray that, Lord, in this last day of 2023, we would again have ears open, willing to receive, hearts that are soft to receive that which you would say to us. So this service is yours. Our time here is yours. Lord, speak. Let your Holy Spirit move in every heart for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, but you know, the last service of the year is—it's always a fun one. I say a fun one because you know we get to look back at a year, and I think how fitting to be the last day of the year, carving out a few hours to be with God's people and God's church to hear God's word. It's very commendable. It's very cool to be here. So here we are. You know, 2023 has come and gone faster than we thought. I've realized that the older I get, the faster the years go by. Some of you guys made it feel like a week, you know, depending. I'm just as a joke. But, you know, this is that time of year where everybody's been talking about, oh, the new year and resolutions and, you know, gym memberships, I'm sure, are up. And the diets are all trending. You know, they only last about a week or two before we go back to our own ways. I don't know if you've done your homework on that. But, you know, 2023 was a different kind of year. They all are. You know, every year is different, you know. But it was kind of weird. I don't know if you remember, but in 2023, we got introduced to, in a larger scale, AI, artificial intelligence, when ChatGPT came and the world like went like, what is this? Really interesting. A lot of weird stuff that can come out of that. You know, I'm just going to leave it there. Some good, maybe. I don't know. Here's another encouraging thing about 2023. As a nation, we broke the record for credit card debt when we surpassed $1 trillion. Yeah, that's pretty cool, right? No, that's not cool at all. It was in 2023 that we saw a balloon cruising through the skies in the United States. Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was this year. That was crazy. We shot it down. That was interesting. And, of course, it was 2023, October the 7th, when Hamas attacked Israel. I remember getting the news. I was down at camp with 60-some kids, and, you know, we just didn't know what we were coming home to. And you've seen a very weird year. You know, the world is extremely fragile right now in different fronts, and we'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, as the end of a year comes, you know, as the year comes to an end, you know, there's this universities and dictionaries that come up with the word for, you know, their favorite word for 2023. So Oxford University, their number one word for 2023, it's funny, is not inflation. It's not inflation, no. It's RIZZ. R-I-Z-Z. I was introduced to that word last year, and I'm like, RIZZ was short for charisma. And I'm going to describe it to you. It says style, charm, or attractiveness, or the ability to attract a romantic partner. RIZZ. So the word of, never mind. So I guess the thing is, do I have RIZZ? Do you have RIZZ? Don't use that, please. It's weird. But anyway, that's Oxford. They said RIZZ. Cambridge dictionaries, their word for 2023 was hallucinate. This is getting worser and worser. You like that? Worser? They should take that in the dictionary. It's going to be a good one for 2024. And I'm like, wait, hallucinate? Well, I read into it. So because of AI, artificial intelligence, you know, AI is a computer that has some human capabilities that they put into it. When an AI machine hallucinates, it creates false information. Ah, so hallucinate was the big word for Cambridge. But the one that caught my attention, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, is Merriam-Webster's. Their word for the year was authentic. Authentic. It says worthy of acceptance or belief as conforming to or based on fact. And they said the search engines and their data, everybody's looking for authentic. authentic, real. We live in a world where we just don't trust anything we're told unless we find out for ourselves. You know, AI has, I hate this word, but evolved or grew, grown, whatever you want to call it, into where they can now mimic your voice. Did you know that? Like to the T? So your son, your daughter can get a voicemail and it's not you? So now people are having to look for the real thing. What's authentic? Is this authentic? Whenever you put authentic in front of food, you go like, oh, this is authentic Mexican food. Oh, not Tex-Mex. I'm kidding. Joke. Wow. Just kidding. Authentic, you know, Chinese, authentic Italian food. There's, oh, it's authentic. And some restaurant put it under the sign, authentic. Just to go in and you go like, what? This is not authentic. This is Taco Bell. But, you know, we want, as a nation, what's real, because the artificial thing is wearing us down. So we're going to talk about what's truly authentic here in a minute. But needless to say, 2023 has come and gone, 2024 just around the corner, and most people out there are predicting a doom and gloom year coming up, right? Could be. I don't know. I remember in 2020, everybody had a plan of the year of vision, 2020, everybody, and nobody saw what was coming 3 months later, and their vision went down the toilet, right? I mean, we were shut down, remember? So I don't know. It could come, yes. Some are worried about the future. You realize that here in February, it's going to be 2 years since Russia and Ukraine have been at war. 2 years already. That's a long time. Feels like a couple months. You have, again, Hamas and Israel at war, and other forces are getting involved heavily. And the moral compass of this nation is non-existent. It's gone. There used to be a compass. There used to be. It's just gone. And, you know, things like that can certainly unsettle us. You know, what's going to happen with the economy? What's going to happen with the elections? What's going to happen with this war? Who's going to step in? What is happening? There's turmoil everywhere you turn. We got machines telling us what to do, and we can trust them. We're looking for something real. Now, everything I just mentioned has one common denominator. And it's something, the common denominator is that it's things of this world. Everything I just mentioned are things that pertain to this world. Here's the good news for us. We are not of this world. We are in it. We will be here until the Lord says it's time for us, each of us, to go. Or how cool would it be if all at once we go? I'm all for it. But you see, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we're going to be. So while this world, as Pastor Bill always points out, it's not falling apart. It's falling into place. Things, we're told this would happen, guys. Right? We're here. And what about 2024? For some of us, 2023 was probably a good year. For some of us, probably it was a horrible year. For, some of us, 2023, made us cynical and hurt us. Some of us are looking to 2024. Some of us don't want to even think about next year. That's reality. That's life. That happens. Others might say, like I just said, Jesus, just come. Take us home. Make everything right. Stop all this mess. And our hearts groan. As Paul would say, they yearn for him to come. Yes. So with all that being said, and that is a very encouraging introduction, I want you to turn with me to Matthew 11. And we're going to pick it up in verse 25. And as you turn there, I'd like to, before we get into the main portion of our text, I'd like to give some context to our text. So Matthew 11, verse 25. And in the previous five verses, so 22, 25, Jesus has, he's talking to some multitudes. There's people listening to him. And Jesus has just finished rebuking five cities that he went and did miracles in. Those are Chorazin, Bethsaida, Tyre, Sidon, and Capernaum, which Capernaum he liked to spend a lot of time in. But why did he rebuke them? It says that in verse 20 of Matthew 11, you can go down. It says, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. So Jesus had done all this work. And he takes this moment when all these multitudes are there with him, and he rebukes publicly these five cities, and he compares them. He's like, hey, if the works that would have been done in you would have been done in Sodom, they would have repented. And it's a very, you can almost feel and sense that he's not pleased that all the mighty works that were done in those cities, and they would not repent. But then on verse 25, he turns, and it says, at that time, as he is rebuking those cities, Jesus says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So in the midst of the rebuke, Jesus turns to God and says, I thank you, because I know you. No, I know you. He says, and only you know me. And Jesus says, and whoever the Son, Jesus, chooses to reveal. Jesus is saying, those who I choose to reveal the Father to can know the Father. It's a very deep statement. With all that, then we go into verse 28 after he says that. He's like, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. It's an invitation. Interestingly enough, the word there, come, is the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 4:19 when he called Peter to follow him. Remember, he said, follow me and I will make you fishermen. It's the same word, come, follow, same exact word in the Greek. Jesus invites Peter, invites us to come and to follow him. Do you know that God is full of invitations? Have you ever looked? I just looked at a few last night and the night before getting ready for the study, but God is always and constantly inviting us to come to him. Isaiah 1:18 says this, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That invitation, come, let us reason, let us come. John 37:38 says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And Isaiah 51:1 says, oh, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And he and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. And of course, Hebrews 4:16, the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God is often, repeatedly, constantly inviting us to come. To come to him for salvation, to come to him with our prayers, to come to him when we're weary and heavy laden. So in the midst of all that, you know, during that time, you know, where Rome was in over the land of Israel, and people were under the bondage and they paid taxes, when the religious leaders they put loads and religion and legalism on top of the people, they were weighing them down with Roman taxes and the religious leaders on top of being in a very poor area and so forth, and Jesus sees them all and he says, "Come to me. You who are weary, you who labor and are heavy laden, come to me, and I will give you rest." Now, it says, according to D.A. Carson, labor implies the burdens that we take upon ourselves, and heavy laden implies the burdens others put on us. Heavy laden suggests the same thought as I just mentioned, as Matthew 23:4, where Jesus spoke against the religious leaders of his day as those who bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay on them on men's shoulders. You know, there's a weight of religion that I've seen it on people that they can put on the guilt trip on people. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, yeah, you can't have lights on the stage. Oh, yeah. I'm serious. Well, no, you got a cappella only. Oh, you can dance. Oh, you don't drink coffee. And it's like, and it's a legalistic weight. And you know, one thing I've noticed is that whenever I meet somebody that's under that weight, they're seldom joyful. They're like on their burden, trying to keep up. Like, oh man, that's not Jesus. Jesus said, "Come to me. You who are heavy laden." It's like those people were on the religious people and the Rome and everybody. And Jesus is like, "I'm going to give you rest. You come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden." We're going to talk a little bit more about this in a minute. But Jesus promises something that no one else can, which is rest. The word there, rest, is like that of refreshment. Doesn't it feel good when after a long day of work, just to rest, like after maybe you put in 18 hours. Cisco puts in 26 hours a day. Oh, yeah, 26. But you know what I'm talking about. After a long journey, and you just see your couch or your chair, and you look at it, and it's almost like a spotlight is on it, and it's like you're almost floating to it, and then you're gone. See, Sunday afternoons are one of my favorite times to take a nap, okay? I'm older, I call it, I don't care, I own it. However, my family, which will be here soon, has systematically, intentionally colluded against my Sunday nap due to unfound allegations that naps made me grumpy. I'm kidding. Actually, they do. It's true. I wake up, I'm like, why am I grumpy after a nap? I should be happy. And I figure it out. The reason I'm grumpy after a nap is because they're too short. I want to keep sleeping till tomorrow. Anyway, I'm done talking about myself. But when we're tired, when we are weary, that rest, that is like, oh man, this just feels good. Jesus gives us rest. 2023 may have gotten you weary. Oh, Jesus, come. Let me give you rest. He calls us who are weary and tired, just come. I'll give you what you need. Verse 21. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So the first invitation is come. The second invitation is take his yoke. By the way, I forgot to tell you the title of my message. It's a New Year's invitation. There you go. Now that we got that cleared up. But it says, take my yoke upon you. Now, a yoke, it says it's a wooden bar placed over the neck of a pair of animals so they can pull together, figuratively, what unites or joins them, two people to move together. I like what Ironside wrote. He said, a yoke is designed to curb the will and bring one under control. A yoke. Now, the idea of being yoked or under control doesn't sit well with people, especially in a culture where we are taught and told that we can do everything on our own. You know what I'm talking about? Just look at the guy in the mirror and say, you can do this. And then you go and do it. Self-sufficiency is pushed to our kids, to the adults. They say, no, we don't need help. Self-help books, guys, are probably flying off the shelves today. The thought of yoking or coming under the power of another may not always be an inviting or appealing concept for one, because we want to do our own thing. We have our own plans. We have my hobbies, my will, my toys, my cowboys. By the way, they won last night, I think. And should I submit and come under the yoke that Jesus is offering, then all my plans, my will, my agenda has to go out the door. I don't want to be controlled by someone else. You know, I thought about that like that for 20 years. I want my will, my way. It didn't go well. I believed a lie for many years that if I was to yield my life to Christ as a young person, all the fun will be gone. Can I tell you, politely and lovingly, that is one of Satan's biggest lies? Nothing has changed. If you look back in the garden, what did he tell Eve? You know, he knows that if you take of this fruit that you will be like him, you'll be able to discern. So God is keeping you from something. So don't obey God, Eve. I'm paraphrasing, by the way. He's keeping you from something, so disobey him. And that's the way we can sometimes say, well, if I tell God, you take over my life, you curve my will to yours, I'm going to miss out. Well, that's a lie. It is not true. It's a paradox, meaning in coming under his yoke is when we find rest. What? What a concept. Wait, you come yoked under Christ with him and you find rest? Yes, that's how it works, because only Jesus can give us rest. Now, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this. This is Paul. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, and here it is, what is good and acceptable. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? God's will is not boring. God's will is not a buzzkill or is going to just destroy your plans. It's pleasant. It's good. It's perfect. It's acceptable. You look back and go like, well, I'm so glad I gave my life to Christ. I'm so glad I yielded my rights to him, because I look back and it's perfect. I'm telling you, it's been 23 years walking with Jesus. It's far better than the first 20 I did on my own. It's acceptable, it's perfect, it's good. I can say that. I can look back and see it. And I'm sure many of us in this room can too. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So by taking his yoke, we forsake other yokes we're under. For we all follow something or someone. Wait, Raul, are you telling me that I'm under another yoke? Well, if Jesus is not the yoke you're under, yes, you are. There is something that you worship, there is something that you prioritize, there is something that is a priority in your life if it's not Jesus. So it's like removing that which leads to nothing and then putting Jesus and curbed according to his will. Sometimes it's hard to let go. Sometimes it's hard to let go. I get it. Now it says, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Now, in verse 27, it says that, you know, whom the Son chooses to reveal the Father to as he will. So Jesus is saying, put on my yoke and learn from me. Learn from me, for I am gentle, humble, meek, and I'm lowly in heart. That's who our Lord is. That's who he is. He is giving us a self-description of who he is. And he's like, I'm meek. I'm lowly in heart. Learn from me. I'm not hard on beat you up. No, it's I'm lowly. I'm gentle. Learn from me. And it says, and then you'll find rest for your souls. This is such a strong statement when Jesus says, you know, he's uncovering the need of every soul that has ever lived, that lives and will live, which is rest. Our souls are restless. Restless. You see people that try to fill with that void in their hearts, that satisfy their lives with, you know, fame or looks or talent or money or the quest for more, and those are all passing. It's like it's like cotton candy. You know, have you ever taken a nice big old bite of cotton candy? There's nothing there. What happened? Right, it's nothing. It looks big, it looks appealing, it's sweet, but it's gone. That's the things of this world that we think are gonna fulfill. They're just cotton candy. You can take it. It's just nothing. It's so bad for you too. It really is. It's pure sugar. Have you thought about it? It's just sugar. Okay, never mind. He offers rest for our souls. The Bible speaks of two areas where we as humans with a soul need to find rest. One is we need to find rest. Our souls need to rest, peace, have that peace in us with God. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know, when you have peace with God, if you are an enemy of God, and then you are at peace with God, you remember what that was like when that weight came off your shoulders and that burden was lifted and that pain was gone and that shame and guilt was wiped? You remember that day? I remember it. It was Anaheim, California, 2001. Oh, man. It was like I was as light as a feather when that gets removed. When you are at peace with God, when you can walk around and you're no longer fearful of your eternal state. You see, when you have Jesus, you're often thinking or afraid of death because you don't have peace with God. But when you have peace with God, it's not that you go look around and say, I wish I died tomorrow. No, but you know that if and when that day comes, you know exactly where you're going. You have peace with God. So that is, one is the peace with God, rest. And then the other one is Philippians 4:7, the peace of God. It says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I've experienced that peace that God offers, that you don't understand when you're at peace. Well, it makes sense. It surpasses understanding. It's like, why am I at peace right now? I don't know. It's the peace of God. It surpasses understanding. I don't understand it. Excellent. That means it's when you see people raise their voices and fight about this, and why is this, and why that law, and why this, and look at this, and they get all worked up, and then we as children of God, we have that Doesn't mean that we don't get upset. No, but we have that underlying like peace. That at the end of the day, this is just a passing world. And we are headed for heaven. That is what is authentic. See, nobody can argue with you and the peace that God has given you. Nobody can. That is real. That is authentic. So the world is searching, what's authentic? What's real? Jesus. You know, interesting, Jesus hasn't changed. It's the same one yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that crazy that we as a world have come up with so much intelligence and technology, and we're so self-sufficient, and yet the world is like looking for something authentic? What is the real thing? Let me tell you, it's simple, Merriam-Webster. It's Jesus. He's the real thing. It's that simple, but we make it so difficult. We cloud it with this and that. It's like, what's real? Jesus is real. And when the end comes, whenever that is, I'm no prophet to tell you what's going to happen. Guess who remains at the end? Jesus. And guess who's going to win the last battle? And guess who's going to take us to heaven? So then he says, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. It's me, Raul. It's me. It is not that relationship. It's not that job. It's not that house. It's not that car. It's me. It's me who you want. Now, listen. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word easy could be translated as well-fitting. I like what Guzik said about this. He said, if your yoke is hard and your burden is heavy, then we can say that it isn't his yoke or burden, and you aren't letting him bear it with you. Jesus said it plainly, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So as we wrap things up this year, can I encourage you? Take Jesus' invitation. Well, you say, well, I'm already saved, Raul. You're preaching to the choir. No. Look deeper. In 1 Peter 5:7, Peter says this. He says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. You know, we can start taking up on cares ourselves that perhaps are not us to bear. You know that we can do that? Can I come clean? I've done that. A few weeks back, I was thinking, I was struggling a bit, and I was praying. Matthew 11:28 popped in my head. The Lord is like, come to me. And I was just reminded again. It's like, oh, yes. Yes, Lord. It's me. It's you. And I started to think, am I bearing a load on my own? You see, it's a yoke. It's to bear. It's two. It's to bear with. Go together. Why am I taking all the weight? Am I muscling things on my own, taking all the cares of this world upon my shoulders? Like, the Lord's like, I will give you rest. Raul, I got this world. I've had it. Because of me, you're breathing. Because of me, things exist. I formed it. I got this. You don't have to solve the world's problems. I got it. I got the answer. I'm telling you, we can get so worked up, so busy. We can be so self-sufficient, intellectually capable, that we can forget the simplest things that Jesus calls us to do, and is to come to him. Yesterday, I was there getting, you know, the kids ready and cooking at home, and my 5-year-old Everett, he's a character. He's got a big hair, you know, he's just, he's a character. But sometimes he hits that spot where nothing makes sense. The world falls apart. So he's like, I'm hungry. So I go to the pantry and I offered him just everything that's in the pantry. No, I don't want that. No. See, every time I hear a no, my blood pressure goes up a little bit. And a little steam starts coming out of my ears, and I'm keeping it together. I'm like, how about this? No. How about Cheerios? No. How about nachos? No. How about right? No. I said, you know, go to your room. He's crying. Go to your room, because until you can figure out what you want to eat, I'm not going to sit here, you know, ratatouille, cooking every meal you can think about. Go. And there he is crying, big tears rolling down. And I don't usually do this. I just went and picked him up. I laid on the floor. And I said, let's read a book. He said, okay. I'm like, huh, he stopped crying. We read a book. You want to read another book? Yeah. Halfway through the book, let's pause. Okay, let's pause the book. I'll take nachos. But you see, there was something that happened. That I'm not the dad of the year. Okay, trust me, my wife will be here second service. She'll tell you, no, he isn't. But there is something that happened that moment when I just held my son on the floor, 5-year-old little body, and I read to him. His world that was falling apart came back together in just about 5 minutes. See, I'm preaching today, right? I'm like, see, I got to practice what I'm going to go preach. No. But I'm like, it's that simple. I can throw a tantrum or two, okay? I can be pouting. I can be like, nah, I don't want that. The Lord's like, come here. Come to me. The throne of grace, it's open. The veil was torn away. I'm here. The Lord is, I wonder if he just, more often than not, is be like, guys, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Just come to me. I got this. Just stop it. Stop pouting. Come here. Be me. It's me. I wonder. About a year and a half ago, I was at Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Kind of a weird place, okay? But anyway, they have this Jesus play, and we went to see this Jesus play, tourist trap, 100%. But what was cool about it is they make you wait for, seems like an hour or 20, and they had different displays. They had a guy that could do the slingshot, and he's like, look, and he's got a sling, and whoof, hitting some targets. I'm like, oh, I can see how David killed Goliath. That's easy, man. That thing is scary. And then they had a potter, a real potter with the wheel, you know, that spins and the table. He had clay. And I can't concentrate very long, you know. I'm like, squirrel, you know. But when this guy sat behind the wheel in the potter, I was like, it's almost like I was flying over to the front row. I was like, and I sat in the very front, and I was looking at him and the way he was talking. The potter and all the different things, like, you know, the clay, and I was just mesmerized. I was looking, but what struck me out of many things that he did is that he grabbed a lump of clay and he put it on the table that he had spun, right? Spinning. And it was off center. So it's a round table that's spinning, and the lump of clay just wasn't centered quite right, so it was wobbling. And he made the point. He's like, you see how it's wobbling? And the he's like, one touch from the maker in this lump of clay that's wobbling all over the place. And then he went and put water in his hand, and he touched that lump of clay. And what was wobbling, it immediately just sat still. And it was still spinning, but it looked like it was still because the master had touched it. And I'm like, That's me. I am the lump of clay that can get all over the place. And then just the master touches. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, come to me. Come to me. You who are like wobbling and flat and all worked up. Let me touch you. Let me touch your body. Let me touch your soul. Let me settle your heart. I will give you the rest that you want. Come. I don't know how it happens, but it's so real. It's so tangible. It's so powerful. And it's there. So my New Year's invitation to you is come to him. Find yourself going to him. Whatever comes in 2024. It may be a bad one. I don't know. It may be, it's for sure going to be interesting. I can tell you that. I really can't wait to hear Pastor Thomas and Pastor Bill, their message. I was really looking forward to listening to them. And you should too. Don't miss out. But can I invite you? Come to him. Come to him. Find yourself before him more often. Perhaps that you ever have this upcoming year. When you're wobbling around. When you're pouting because you don't know what you want. As I can be. As I can often do. Come to your master that says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I don't know, maybe there's someone here listening online that doesn't know Jesus. I'm telling you, whoever you are, come to him. You need him. The peace that you're seeking is found in him only. And you're going to look, you're going to search. You're not going to find it until you find him. You want to be where he is. You want to experience what many of us have. Come to him. Amen? Let's pray. And Father, I just thank you for this reminder once again, this invitation that you give us to come. Lord, it's my prayer that I will come more often to you, that we as a church will come often to your throne, Lord, where we can cast our cares, where we can have you take the load, where we can find the rest that we need. I pray if anyone in this room, Lord, doesn't know you, that even now they will yield to you. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if that is you, if there's anyone in this room that says, I need to come to Jesus, I don't know him, raise your hand. I'd like to pray with you right where you are. We're just going to move on. Anybody? Well, Father, I thank you that this is your people. I do pray that as 2024 comes, Lord, that you guide us, that you give us wisdom. You give your sheep, the sheep of your pastor, wisdom in how to navigate what's coming. Because you know the future. We don't. Lord, but you can prepare us. You can guide us. I pray that everyone in this room will have a safe New Year's Eve. I pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.